I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we're going to talk about this new terror attack that's happened down in Orlando, Florida. A terrible tragedy has occurred in what now is clearly being defined as a terrorist attack on America at a gay nightclub down in Florida. And the shooter, I saw this very early in the morning when the early reports were coming in. And at first, they were reporting that 20 people had been killed and more than 40 others had been wounded, and that there was a possible connection to terrorism. And then, of course, hours later, it's now come out that the terrorist, 29-year-old Muslim named Omar Mateen, the Orlando nightclub shooter, was a member of a terrorist organization. And he apparently dedicated himself to ISIS right before the attack happened. According to KHOU.com, Orlando shooter pledged allegiance to ISIS during a 911 phone call and then carried out this terrible attack. Now, what's incredible, you read, and I remember seeing this in these early reports, they're describing Omar Mateen, and his name, of course, just has the ring of Islam to it. But they're describing him in the mainstream media is saying Omar Mateen, a 29-year-old U.S.-born citizen, has been identified, etc. That's how the mainstream is reporting this whole thing. A 29-year-old U.S.-born citizen. Now, some people have pointed to that as kind of a little bit odd that they're going out of their way to call him a U.S.-born citizen, but rather than a 29-year-old Muslim who's engaging in this terror attack, although they do tell you that his parents came from Afghanistan. And then they've got photos of him online. He clearly looks like a Middle Eastern male. A Middle Eastern male. He does not look like an American, although technically he must be. Apparently he is. But he clearly, according to the reports, pledged himself to ISIS. This was obviously intended to be a vicious attack, and it was. And now the number, of course, they began earlier today, telling us that the number of deaths was about 20. Now the number has increased to about 50. And so now what they're reporting is that it's at least 50 who have been killed, and even another 50 more who have been wounded on top of that. And the death toll may increase as the story goes on from one day to the next, because some of those who are wounded may end up passing away. We'll have to wait and see. But certainly our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families. But what is disturbing is that as soon as this is happening, we have cries from the left against the Second Amendment, and we need more gun control, supposedly, and that the real issue here is that it's too easy for people to get hold of a firearm, etc., even though this guy went through all of the gun control steps. He filled out his application. He did the entire legal process that you're supposed to do to gain his firearms. But the problem is that he held to a radical Islamic ideology. Now, I personally think what's going to happen here is this is going to gain even more support for Donald Trump, even more support, because the Democrats who are calling for gun control and this kind of thing are simply unreasonable. They are the ones who are helping to engineer the problem. They are the ones who have kept the Mexican border wide open. They're the ones who will not enforce immigration laws. As a result, we've got hundreds of thousands and millions of illegals coming in. We've had repeated warnings that the Mexican border could be an entry point for terrorists coming into the country. And there are, I mean, if you go online, all of the threats that have been made by ISIS, the Islamic State, threatening to launch terror attacks in America and to use this whole immigration crisis to try to smuggle terrorists into the United States. Not to mention the fact that they're also influencing people through their ongoing propaganda campaign by posting videos and messages and things like that to the internet to inspire people like Omar Mateen to carry out an attack like this. And certainly when you've got a group like ISIS trying to inspire Muslims all over the world to commit acts of terror, a certain percentage of them are going to respond. But the thing is, with the way that the current administration is handling this thing, because they're bringing in these refugees from Iraq and Syria. They're bringing in a lot of the Syrian refugees. It's said that better than 90% of them are Muslims, very few Christians, if any. Most of the immigrants that they're bringing in, refugee immigrants, so-called refugees, are Muslim. The Obama administration is apparently going out of its way to make sure that it's top-heavy with Muslims coming into the United States. I've heard reports in different parts of the country, people talking about the increase of the number of Muslims who have now become parts of their communities. And so it's very interesting. It should be very interesting to see what happens. It's why I think more and more people are getting concerned, and it's why I think Donald Trump is getting the kind of support that he is, because people are seeing what's happening in Europe. They're seeing the situation there, and they're seeing that this whole problem reaches a point where it becomes more and more visible. And at first, people will ignore it because they're not necessarily being affected by it. Then one day you wake up and something happens. Now suddenly you realize, okay, this is serious. From the stories I've read, this is similar to what's happened in France. In France, they're moving along with their French culture. They're bringing in all of these Muslim workers. And then one day they look up and suddenly they've got Sharia zones here and there. They've got this hostility, this aggression. They've got all these changes that are being made to their society that your traditional French are not happy about. And you've got now you've got a clash of civilizations going on, which is undeniable. Undeniable, that's what's happening. And of course, Islam does not come into countries like anyone else. They come in with an agenda, and they've done this for more than 1,000 years. That's the thing to remember. They've done it for more than 1,000 years. They've been following the same program of immigration, jihad, trying to overthrow the infidel countries. And because that is really the heart of their religion, their religion is about infiltrating and overthrowing non-Muslim countries and forcing them into submission to Islam. And that's what jihad is ultimately all about. But this, I mean, all of this takes us back to, I mean, what is the origin of this whole problem, brethren? I contend, still contend, you can, well, I mean, really the origin of it goes back 1400 years with Muhammad going into the Kaaba and declaring that Allah, the moon god of the ancient world, is the one true God. Now, if you go research Allah, very interesting, but Allah has been related to the ancient god Hubal, H-U-B-A-L, the ancient god Hubal in pre-Islamic Arabia. And this is, according to George W. Braswell, Islam, its prophets, peoples, politics, and power, he says, quote, Hubal was the chief god of the Kaaba among 360 other deities. He was a man-like statue whose body was made of red precious stone and whose arms were of solid gold. Okay, that's one report. Another from the Concise Encyclopedia of Islam. It says, Hubal, an idol, god of the moon, it was set up in the Kaaba and became the principal idol of the pagan Meccans. The principal gods at Mecca were Hubal, god of the moon, and the female goddesses. Now, there are those who believe that this is why Islam, they believe that Hubal and Allah is simply the Arabic word for God, that Hubal and Allah are essentially one and the same, and that's why Islam uses the crescent moon as its symbol. That is the argument that's made. It's worth noting that online, if you go research this, you have Islamic scholars who deny this. They claim that, no, this is not true, etc. And, you know, so you have that ongoing debate there. But, of course, we know that the worship of Allah had to come from somewhere. And it is certainly not the worship of the God of the Bible. Even though what has been a point of confusion for some is that if you read the Quran is sort of mingling in biblical characters like Moses and Abraham and Jesus and Mary, etc. And so you end up with this conglomeration of ideas that are all bound together by the traditions that were taught by Muhammad. Now, personally, I believe that what happened with Muhammad, because you look at when all of this comes about, this is all happening in the 7th century. And I believe what happened was in that region, you had had Gnosticism in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd centuries that was very active. You had Manichaeanism in the 4th century. And you find elements of Gnosticism, and which Gnosticism borrows from the Bible and the writings of the New Testament. And Manichaeanism does the same, but presents obviously a corrupt version of New Testament Christianity. But what I believe Islam did, what Muhammad did ultimately, he and his followers, was they took Manichaeanism, because the idea of Manichaeanism was that the prophet Mani was the comforter who had been proclaimed or foretold by Jesus. And they said, well, this prophet Mani, he's the guy. And now he speaks with the voice of God. And that's basically what Islam says of Muhammad in modern times. So I believe that Islam is ultimately a corruption of Gnosticism and Manichaeanism. That's my understanding at this point. All right, brethren, let's go to a commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the worship of Baal in the Old Testament and the story of Elijah right after this.
Adullam Films presents Dark Clouds Over Elberton, the true story of the Georgia Guidestones, a dynamic new documentary exposing the environmental agenda. In 1980, this granite monument was erected by an anonymous stranger who called himself R.C. Christian. He claimed to represent a small group that wished to usher in the Age of Reason. Sometimes called the American Stonehenge, this strange monument is said to contain the Ten Commandments of the New Age, or the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. But who was R.C. Christian, and does his monument have something to do with the climate change agenda of the United Nations today? Find out by ordering Dark Clouds Over Elberton, the true story of the Georgia Guidestones. Available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Christian Film Ministry, Adullam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are, we're talking about Islam in the wake of this terror attack that happened down in Orlando, Florida. And I really do believe, brethren, that we should be praying for the families there. And we should be praying for those who have survived this attack and are wounded, and praying for the families of those who lost loved ones. That's very important. We should also be praying, even though this might be a bit controversial for some, we should be praying for people who are sincere, well-meaning Muslims. And honestly, pray, because I do believe in the Muslim community, there are people who are very sincere. And I believe there are some who want to seek the truth. And I think we should pray for them. We should pray that they'll turn and read the Bible, get a copy of the Holy Scripture. Because even the Quran talks about the book, meaning the Bible, and mentions Christians and Jews as the people of the book, and compel them to seek out the book and to read the Bible. And of course, we're going to recommend a King James Bible. And also we would say to Muslims, because Muslims sometimes they seize upon textual criticism, modern day textual criticism, and all the changes that they make through the New Bible movement and so on, and they will often seize upon that as alleged proof that the Bible is not really the Word of God, or that the Bible is a corrupted book and this kind of thing. Of course, we would encourage them to watch our film series, our documentary series on the history of the Bible, and especially to watch this upcoming release that we've got, Bridge to Babylon, that we're getting ready to release here soon, because that would explain to them why a lot of this controversy is there, and hopefully encourage them to recognize that, yes, you can trust that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, and to understand the gospel as it was understood for hundreds of years, for 600 years before Muhammad came into the world, and understand that the understanding of who Jesus is as the Messiah, as the Christ, as, yes, the Son of God, that this was proclaimed for centuries prior to Muhammad, and that the denials were warned about by the apostles. The apostles warned about those who would deny the relationship between the Father and the Son. And if they could also see, if they want further proof, I would point them to the book of Psalms, because a lot of times they will contend against the New Testament, and they're more receptive to the Old Testament. But go to Psalm chapter 2 and verse 12, where it says, "Kiss the Son, S-O-N, capital S-O-N, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Blessed are all they that put their trust in the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Because that's what this is about, ultimately. And if sincere Muslims would recognize that they have been lied to, that Islam is a system of lies, it's a system of false doctrines and so on, that have led countless souls away from the truth of the gospel. And they're going to find the truth of the gospel in the pages of Holy Scripture. And hopefully that will lead them to life eternal. And that's ultimately what we want, not just for members of the Islamic community, what we want for people all over the world, people among all the nations of the earth. And the promise is for people who are Arab people, people who are from Syria, and people who are from Iraq, and people who are from Egypt and the Sudan. You realize many of the countries I just named were Christian countries for hundreds of years. Christian countries for hundreds of years. And so in Egypt, it's incredible. You find out in the first, second centuries, Egypt became a Christian country, dominated by Christians for hundreds of years before Islam was developed, for centuries. They had the gospel. And to recognize that in the teachings of Mohammedism, what you have are you have elements of old world paganism. And that is what we are going to discuss here in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Now, they have a festival, an annual festival in Islam, in the Middle East, called the Holy Day of Asherah. The Holy Day of Asherah. Now, this I'm going to read here from an article in the Sunday Express over in the UK, where they had a headline, Blood-Soaked Islamic Ritual Sees Hundreds Hack Their Own Heads with Machetes. And you can go online, look at these pictures. They've got young children. I mean, I've seen pictures of infants, babies, little boys, etc. And the article says, quote, the Holy Day of Asherah festival sees millions of Muslim men and boys around the world take part in the dramatic ceremony. It is held to mourn the death of the Prophet Muhammad's grandson, Imam Hussein, in 680 AD during the Battle of Karbala. The 10-day festival is observed by both Sunni and Shia sects, although self-harm is discouraged by some Shia leaders who say it creates a negative image of Islam. So, to be fair, it's not practiced by all Muslims, apparently, but it is practiced by both the Sunni and the Shia. Okay, now, where do we find this festival here that is part of the Islamic experience? You find in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is when Elijah, the prophet, stood down the false prophets of Baal. When he stood down the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And this is back in the days of Elijah and Queen Jezebel. And they worshipped Baal. Jezebel especially favored Baal worship. And she persecuted the prophets of God. And they favored Baal there in the kingdom. And so Elijah confronts King Ahab, and then he confronts the people, and he has a showdown with these prophets of Baal, 450 of them. And we read in 1 Kings 18, verse 21, it says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now, of course, I believe this is the challenge that we face in every generation, brethren. Who is the true God? Who is the true God? Of course, for us, there's only one true God, the God of the Bible, the God of Christianity. So then Elijah has a showdown with the prophets of Baal, and he has them call upon their God. And when they do, interestingly, they call. It says they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Okay. And then down in verse 28, it says, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. But it's very clearly from a pagan origin. Very clearly from a pagan origin. Of course, the rest of the story, the whole purpose. What is the purpose, brethren, of our walk of faith, our witness? What is our purpose of opposing other religious beliefs? What's the purpose of opposing them? When Elijah calls upon the Lord, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. To lead people to the understanding that they should put their faith in the only true God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's our mission as believers, brethren. Praise the Lord. All right, beloved, that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.